Acts and Hebrews, and some of them just kind of read the body's support, encouragement of one another, and being sensitive to one another, and which becomes very important, and that's part of what this prayer meeting is about. And when things do happen that we can know, we should know. I want you to be in prayer for Jim Passmore. It's his birthday, and it takes its toll on Jim every few months. And happy birthday, man. All right. You're no longer younger than me. All right. He always likes January to March because he's younger than I am. Now he's older than me. All right. And it's coming up on others, too, but we'll let that go for right now. I get rid until around August, and then everything is silent. All right. Let's see. Do be in prayer. First of all, remember Sunday right after the morning service, we're going to get together, have some ideas, and get together. In fact, let me show you all that stuff that I got if you remind me after classes. And just get some ideas on our children. I don't want that to just sit dormant. I don't want that to pass me by. I mean, David Smith, you know, little girl's coming in, and I mean, she's going to need all our help that she can possibly get. It, of course, means so we want to have some good things lined up and get them lined up now. So if you have any leading or anything to be there Sunday, hang around for a while. We'll not keep you long, and get some ideas and see what's going on Sunday. So that's just Sunday right afterwards. Also, the following Sunday is Easter Sunday. And so what I thought it to do to make it a day of worship. I know that different plans and families, and I understand that, but just so this family that can come and have a day of worship together, we'll have communion Easter evening, and rather than the following Sunday, and take advantage of just the day of worship of the resurrection of our Savior, be most befitting. And be in prayer for me, because I've got some very good things that I need to cover with you in a few verses before we get to the actual resurrection of Isaac, but it's so close that I may just jump to that for the resurrection study of Isaac and paralleling it to Jesus Christ. So we'll just see how we can get it done. I had hoped to get a little further this last Sunday, but I'm pleased with what we accomplished and the same message that is there. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But what we'll do is Easter Sunday, two Sundays from now, we will have our communion service Easter night. Communion service Easter night, and then have our fellowship together. Those who can stay, and so that'd be good if we can do that. I wish I could sing. Wes can play, but I can't. So wish we could have some kind of enjoyment that night. But we'll just have fellowship together, eating together. So please plan on that. Just bring maybe whatever you have left over from the Easter lunch or whatever, and let's just have some good time together that evening. Got some good reports back on the hot springs, the response. Please be in prayer. Apparently there was some very good response in regard to spirituality by faith, spiritual love, apparently some very strong, very good response. So please be in prayer for those people that they will continue to see what is going on in this battle. And so please be in prayer. Don't drop them from your prayer right now. Right now is when they entered into the battle, and I'll probably be going up there in a couple of weeks. So please be in prayer for those believers. Continue to be in prayer for Ralph LaRosa, who's in the battle and seeing what's going on. He needs your prayers. Those are some of the things that were on surface for me. What requests do we have going? First of all, your father. Tell everyone about your father, please. And he has accepted Christ as Savior. Okay. Let's be in prayer. You get up there and get to talk with your dad. And thanks for hearing that, and we'll be in prayer. And give us his first name again, please. Yeah. Be in prayer. That's very important, and thank you. Okay. What else? How's your dad? He's stable, so we need to continue to be in prayer for Raymond. And just what God has in store for Raymond and Thelma. Okay? Yes. You know what? I put in a call to the pastor, Weaver, Dan Weaver, and he didn't get to call me back so before class tonight. So I'm hoping to hear from him, and maybe by tomorrow night I'll be able to give you an answer. But he asked me, and I put in a call, but I need to find out. Yes.
In my work situation, I have run into a girl who I don't even know boy is burnt 85% of his body. And I haven't had, this isn't a close enough person that they ever, but each time I talk to her, I get closer and closer to her.
Good.
Situation. For some reason, it's been on my mind all the time. And he's
no accident.
And he's,
how old is he?
He's 5, I think.
Not going to send him a little card. If he's been on your mind.
Yeah.
That's no accident.
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
even
her.
Send her a card. Yeah. In prayer, do you know his first name?
Yeah, his name is Zach Mitchell.
Zach. In prayer for Zach. Okay, thank you. Okay. Anything else? That is. Yes, Linda. Dick and Cindy Edwards, Wichita Falls, Texas. Papers for a long time. It's all clear, the issue of faith. And just been in prayer, and continue to listen. And they call occasionally just to encourage me, especially during late 94, 95, just wonderful people, really see the battle, and so they need some special prayer support right now, so that's good. I talked to her today, so let's be in prayer. I'm glad you brought it up. Let's be in prayer for Vic, Cindy Edwards. They're part of the family. They are, you know, they listen daily. And like I said, they're called, encouraged, and talk about maybe a message, which I enjoy. You know, I'm not president of it. Here we get up and walk out. I don't know if y'all got it, didn't get it, didn't care, you know. And but that's good. And so they're really part of it. And that's what I might call him about Easter night, about the communion. But wonderful people. Really wonderful people. And might know, some of you might remember, Paul Edwards was a tall fella that, kind of a thin fella, sat up at the front, and married a Mexican-American girl, and this is his parents. And they've just been superb people. And so, yeah, let's be in prayer for them. And as you said, for other papers that we're not even aware of their problems and things yet. Yes, sir. It will. The battle will intensify. Then prayer for Cliff, his family, wife, children, and himself. Then prayer for him and in this battle. So, then prayer. You've been there. You know the battle. You know different things that happen in people's lives. So, you know how to pray. Okay? Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
We've got a temporary court date in April at the Baptist
Court. Okay. When?
April 2nd.
April 2nd. Okay. So y'all, most of everyone here is aware of the Ryan's daughter and custody battles that go on. That's not just, you know, we're so prone to think that's the time we live in. People, it's not just the time we live in. I mean, this the whole thing of courts, divorce, and lawsuits. Lawsuits are what destroyed, one of the primary things that destroyed Athens was the transfer of wealth by lawsuits. And they were totally inundated with lawsuits and lawyers. Everywhere was a lawyer. Everybody was suing everyone in Athens just before its fall. It was just another contributing factor. It's one of those things that go with a collapsing society and a society whose standards and thoughts are different. They were, of course, most people know highly homosexual and lesbian, but that was just one manifestation. And they were very high, and everybody suing everyone and trying to transfer their wealth and become wealthy and take it away from others who were wealthy, all by lawsuits. And so this is nothing that is new to our time. I think it certainly has intensified as the family continues to break down, as the adversary does a masterful job there. But let's be in prayer. Anything specific? I understand the general, but what would be a specific aspect since you said it with us?
Well, the main thing is we're trying to get it worked out before we end up going to court. So we've been
right there. That God, if this is pleasing to him. And remember, you have not because you ask not. There's not a thing wrong. And, okay, Father, Brian, Larry, ready to go through whatever you've got, but this is our request. That if it can be done for the sake of the child, and these things can just always end up very bitter, very dirty. And so let's try to work it out before. So let's be in prayer that a miracle may occur, and that'll be able to be accomplished. So that'll be the first aspect of it, right? That you can work that out. Okay, work out the custody agreement. Okay. Anything else? Anyone else? Continue to be in prayer for Sue Bayless' husband, John, and the Holy Spirit will continue to convict. His father died, who was a pastor in Hot Springs. His father died, and that had an effect. So continue to be in prayer for John, and I say for him, for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, that whatever it'll take. Like tonight, we're seeing how the work of the Spirit produces sorrow, the work of the Spirit produces confession, the work of the Spirit produces remembering, the work of the Spirit produces all these things that bring a person to repentance. So we don't tell the Holy Spirit what to do, but we do make our request be made known that our objective is salvation too, in regard to, in this case, John. So be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for Wes. Continue to be in prayer for John Harvey as he continues to adjust to a complete change in his life. Just continue to be in prayer for each other. And we're in this battle, and we need to understand that the body. I've just given you little bits here and there. We could do a short series on it. How important the body is. This came up while I was in Hot Springs. You get this idea, a lot of people in our camp, body's not really important. Learning is what's important. People, if we examine Scripture again, we see over and over the body, encouraging one another. That's why spiritual gifts are given for the body, not for you, but for the body. This is what we're here for. So let's be in prayer for each other and all of these things that are going on. So, yes.
When you started talking about the body, it reminded me of virtue and her sister to the sign.
Some of you that may be new here and everything, this is her sister and brother-in-law and Jeff and Liam. So let's be in prayer for them. Specifically in regard to business?
Well, the business and the relationship and their spiritual life are a lot of emotional effects.
People, this is so important. What is God trying to tell me? What is God trying to say here? Right here is the heart, and I really mean it. Right there is the heart of living the spiritual life by faith. Because if we have law, and if we have the hierarchy of the priesthood, like they did in the Old Testament, and people that come and say, okay, do this and do that. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof. But if you haven't, you want to go rent it, and it gives you a very good feel of the structure, and that still comes out of Israel from the Old Testament. And it's just so nice to have somebody to tell me what to do. And if I just knew what God wanted me to do, I would do it, because I want to do what God wants. Do you really? Do you really want to do what God wants? Then walk by faith. If you really want to do what God wants, you walk by faith. That means that you walk by faith in the Spirit. And I like the way Lewis Berry Schaefer words it, because it's one of those spiritual things. Unlike a law, I can't say learn doctrine and you'll get it. Learn the law and you'll get it. It just has to be something like the way Schaefer worded it. He will whisper. He, the Holy Spirit, will whisper loud enough for the believer who's listening to know. And that's a very beautiful way of wording it. And you pray. And people, if you pray believing, and you made it very clear, and then after you pray, you get some higher thoughts and things. That, you know, I'm amazed at people. Well, you know, how do I know? And I prayed, and God did. You know, well, what happened? Did you think about it? Yeah, but, you know, how do you know if it's of the Spirit or of the flesh? Well, is it, one, is it, meaning a direction, sin? No. Did you just pray for God to give you guidance? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we got to walk by faith. People, I believe this. I don't believe it. I close the book and leave. I believe what happened to me starting in about 89, 90. A little earlier than that, really. And either we believe that the Holy Spirit will lead, be led of the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, follow the Spirit. All those are words. And either we believe it or we don't. And we then need to go back to the law and doctrine and have it up here being this director. Or we have a real member of the Godhead directing us. So, circumstances is what he uses for the testing of our faith. And we've seen that with Abraham. So here is our lady sister and brother-in-law, and many of us know them. It's been prayer that they will understand that the first step is to stop and trust him to lead and then walk that way with that peace and with that assurance. And I got to say it again. That's what the church is about, walking by faith. People, if I have a law, if there's a law that says, let's just make my point, if your business is not doing well, God wants you to go back to the business you were doing. Then we have no faith. Let's go do that. It's a direction. You know? If this is happening in this, or if you come on this and that, and the law is filled with all of that, tonight we'll just have fun and read through the law. I bet you most of you have never read the law and just how specific it is on things. What happens if you accidentally kill somebody? What happens if you accidentally kill somebody's stock? What happens if this? What happens if that? And on and on and on, all the way down to when a woman has a miscarriage. And I mean, it's just filled with the details. Now we walk by faith. And we present it to him, ask him, trust him. That's what we do. And that's what it's about. So sometimes, believe me, I know. Sometimes it looks very, you know, I don't know. Stand still. Just stand still then. And let him work. But, yeah, thank you. Let's be in prayer for Leanne, Jeff, and spiritually. I almost want to say forget the business aspect. Let's pray spiritually, because that's the issue. And so let's be in prayer for them. We love them. Let's be in prayer for them. And hear it from that perspective. And so that's good. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. In prayer for our taper and the lady that's handling and organized setting up the hot springs people, Jean Falter. There's a lot of wonderful spiritual things that are happening in her life. Just they're not like pray because bad things. Pray, it's one of those wonderful prayer requests that just some wonderful things are happening, and pray that they will continue to happen. So let's be in prayer for Jean Falter and some of the believers there. Okay, anything else? How's your mom? Fine? Okay. I'm sorry? Stable and okay. That's all right. Same thing with my mom, for those of you that ask, just be in prayer that have some peace inside. Okay, anything else, people? Okay. All right. Give you an idea. Wes didn't raise hand, Jim didn't raise hand, Paul and Jean didn't raise hand, Tiff didn't raise hand, Jensen didn't raise hand, Kendrick didn't, a lot of you didn't. But people we know, they need our prayer. They didn't say pray for this or that. We know. Because we understand the spiritual warfare. So somebody here doesn't have to say in that sense, if we really are in tune with each other. So let's be in prayer for each other, pray for our children, pray in prayer for our publications, tapes, for the outreach of this assembly. People, there are just not many of us. And God's using this assembly. I mean, it's just amazing. I love it. It just doesn't take that many. And in a lot of different ways. I might even bring Ralph Arosa's letter, even though it's personal, and read it to you. His thankfulness for the tapes. He listens every day, he said. And they're just edifying and directing. And then he goes out. In other words, every one of you sitting here have a part of every Filipino that he gives the gospel to. You have a part of every Filipino that he gives the gospel to, and they respond to the gospel. You have a part of every Filipino believer that he tells about salvation to, and they respond. You have a direct part in that. So this is just a wonderful, wonderful thing going on. So let's be in prayer for each other. Okay? Let's spend some time together in prayer. In prayer for Philip. Philip, how about a job yet? Do we need to still pray for that, or do we need to pray for your new employer?
I haven't started
yet. But you got one? Okay, you think so. You think so. And his wife sits there and grins. Okay. You think so. All right. Let's be in prayer for Philip. And let's go to grace together, go to the throne of grace together in prayer. I think we've got a good handle on being like-minded on what we want to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the God that you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you care about us, not only in the sense, Heavenly Father, of the greatest gift of reconciliation to you, but that we can come and let our request be made known to you, and that you are a God who both hears and answers prayer. And we pick Heavenly Father this evening to assemble together and come together like-minded in our prayer requests. And we pray throughout the days and throughout the week, Heavenly Father, but pray that you'll hear these prayers and pray that you'll continue to enrich this assembly. Rich Heavenly Father, our support, encouragement of each other, the outreach, the use of this assembly, as we continue, Heavenly Father, to understand your purpose for each one of us individually and corporately. And now, Father, as we enter into the battle of understanding very difficult principles and things in regard to sin, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to us. Illuminate that we might understand these things, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay, let's just get moving. We always cut, you know, because of our prayer, which is fine, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I thoroughly enjoy the prayer time and think it's extremely valuable. So let's get moving. We have moved ourselves into our study into verse 10, and remember where we're headed in this whole outlook right now is John's statement, "I write these things that you do not sin." So not sinning is his objective, and we're looking at how the spiritual life by faith, by grace, is that which will encourage us not to sin. And we've seen what sin is. It's independence of God. And therefore, being independent of God, we're declaring that we are like God. And it's very idolatrous, fundamental way. That's what sin is, because every time we sin, we stop trusting Him, and we're acting independently of Him. I don't need Him. I'm going to take care of this myself. Mind, act, thought, tongue, whatever. And so it becomes a great damage in our relationship with Him in many respects. But right now we're looking at it from the standpoint, when we sin, we said, "I don't need you anymore. I don't trust you anymore. I don't trust you with this. I've got to take over. The flesh has got to take over. So therefore, since I don't trust you anymore, I'm independent of you, and I can do what I want." And so this of course is going to cause great damage. I mean, you tell husband, wife, and friend, "I don't need you anymore, and I'm going to do what I want to do." Well, there's going to be tension in that relationship, and that's what we've done with God. The moment we sin, we stop trusting, and the manifestation of it, of what is it? The manifestation of stop trusting Him is what you and I generally categorize as sin. Those things that we say, think, and do. Okay, verse 8. "For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while." Parentheses closed. "I now rejoice. Though I did regret," in verse 8, "though I did regret it, I now rejoice. Not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of or into repentance." And remember that the whole spiritual love, and we saw this in the first part of the chapter of the book, that this is spiritual love in action of in this case Paul the apostle, and he had to bring them, had to have the Holy Spirit bring them to sorrow. And because he's so concerned and was so heavy about having to bring them into sorrow, he wants to elaborate on it. Why I did that to you? He doesn't just drop it. And that's why we have the development that we do and the way that we do. So verse 9, "I now rejoice. Not that you were made sorrowful." I'm going to continue this. I'm not going to let it go, so that you'll understand. "But that you were made sorrowful to the point of or into repentance. For you were made sorrowful," again, just keep on with it, "according to God." In other words, the work of God, the Holy Spirit. "In order that purpose of the sorrow that was by his epistle to the power of the Spirit, you believers might not suffer loss." And this is where we are, "in anything through us." And we remember what they're going to lose. They will suffer loss through his teaching of grace, spirituality by grace. And they will lose out on living the spiritual life by faith then. And three, that means they will lose out at the judgment seat of Christ in getting rewards. It's that serious. It's that serious. They're going to lose out on the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, and if he doesn't do what he can to get them to respond. Then we move to verse 10, "for the sorrow," and we have the noun lupe, which then studying means pain, the grief, the sorrow inside. "That is according to God." The will is not there, but it's that principle. And according to God, that is accordance with God's plan and the work of God the Holy Spirit. "For the sorrow that is according to God," the grief that is caused by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. See, this is God's will, that we do not sin, and that we get reconciled to Him. He sent up everything that He could, so He sent the Spirit to do this work. And then it says, produce. "For the sorrow, the grief that is according to God," and produces. And this is right here is where we left off. And the word is ergodzomai, the present middle indicative, and you're affected by it, the middle voice. Ergodzomai, to work or to produce, and will not develop it in any greater sense in that aspect, to produce or to work. Works or produces in you. Remember that God the Holy Spirit indwells you. So all of this is inside. Here you are, this is you, and inside is the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. And people, please remember that even when you are out of the light, He's not just sitting there. Don't think that. Don't let anybody teach you that. He's just sitting over there. He's not just sitting over there. We've already looked at the indwelling work of God the Holy Spirit. There are things that God the Holy Spirit does because He indwells you. There are things that He does regardless of whether you're in the light or in darkness. There are things that He does when you're in darkness, and there are things that He does when you're in the light. All three kind of things. There are things that the God the Holy Spirit, God, think about that, in you. Now, there are things that God the Holy Spirit is doing, and let's just draw a line. There are things that He's doing, whether you're in the light or not. Seals you. Eternal security. Can't lose your salvation. That type of thing. Then there are things that He's doing when you are, just to make this line to kind of get the idea, when you are in darkness. There are things that He is doing when you are in darkness. And the word convict is a good word. He's convicting, He's stirring, to sorrow, to remember, to acknowledge, whatever it takes. He's at work in you. People, He's not just sitting on some kind of a stool in your soul waiting for you to commit some known sin and then do something about it. Don't be ridiculous. This is God. And He cares about an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And the moment you have broken that relationship with the Jesus Christ and with God the Father, this is why He sent. He has sent to get us back and keep us in that relationship. So this is the one right here that we're taking a look at. Then I'll draw a longer line here. We'll just start it here. Then there are a great number of things that God the Holy Spirit, that we'll call this one, put this line here, that'll be the better way. Then there are things that He does when you're walking in the light, that is, in His power. And walking in the light, there are works of God the Holy Spirit, use of your spiritual gifts, illumination of spiritual truth, the Scripture, leading, guiding, empowering, on and on and on. Intimate relationship with God the Holy Spirit is going on. So what we're looking at is this section right here. So He is at work when you and I are not in His power. So He has this soul that produces this. And again, it's very important. This is not, He's producing this soul. So we'll put the word soul here. But people, remember, this is not always and always the only thing that God the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, is going to produce. This is not always what the work of the Spirit will produce, because it's not always what is needed. And we've already seen some. Here it's Saul. They need Saul. At John's assembly, what they need to do is they need to acknowledge. They need to confess. So he's getting them, working on them to do that. Jesus Christ gave us another one, and that was to remember. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, when we are out of His power, is convicting and remembering, even when we are in sin. And so we have a lot of things. James has another. They were blaming God. And so the convicting worker, don't blame God. Realize what happened when you stopped. When you stopped trusting God. So, and the law of liberty. So, that, and that's why he develops it the way he does. So all of these things are going on. But right now, the work that he's doing is producing. Through this letter, he wrote a letter. Paul, it's Paul who cares. Paul wrote a letter, and it was very heavy on him that he had to do it. God the Holy Spirit takes this letter into the soul of these believers and produces this sorrow. And what they're going to do with it is going to be another deal. But this is what he's there for. Now, so remember, the work of the Holy Spirit. And all the work, any of these that he's doing, any of the work that the Holy Spirit's doing and more here that we have in Scripture and that we don't even have, but whatever it's going to take, all of this work is designed to do one thing, and that is to bring the believer to repentance. This is what it's designed to do, to bring the believers that John writes, Paul writes, James writes, all of us, to bring us to a repentant attitude. This is what it's there for. So take a look. For the sorrow or grief that is according to God works or produces a repentance. Metanoia. Repent. Change of mind with regret concerning one's sins. There's just so many ways of looking at it, looking at metanoia. And one way is the meta is after, and noia is thought, and so this is an afterthought. Okay, it's not pro-noia, it's metanoia. So over here, I'm walking in the light. I stop walking in the light, and I sin, and now I'm over here. It's afterwards. So now, after the damage is done, and I'm in sin, we have this work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to metanoia, which is a repentance. Hey, this is an afterthought. I am out now. I see this, and I see what I did, all that insensitivity and hardening of the heart, and I don't want to be here. I regret that I'm alienated from God with regret, and I want to be back. I want to be what? Be saved or delivered as a believer, and be back into fellowship with God. That's what the word comes down to mean. It means to change your mind with regret concerning sin, concerning your hostile attitude toward God. Without regret, and repentance without regret, and this is without regret leading to salvation. Incorrect Greek order. Incorrect Greek order here. Yeah, I don't know why the NASB did this, unless they were making a interpretation decision for it. But if that's what they were doing, they were wrong. Now, I want you to note the correct Greek order. So let's get that down because it's important. This is the correct Greek order in the text. For the sorrow that is according to God works or produces repentance. We have a preposition, eis, which means leading to, into, or to salvation. Then the phrase without regret. So, we have a sorrow here. This is a sorrow and work of the Holy Spirit. And this sorrow produces, this is the objective of it, produces a repentance. And this repentance leads, summons, directs us into a salvation or deliverance without regret. And that's the correct order. That's the correct order of what we have here in the text. So we have the preposition eis. See? Right here, eis, E-I-S right here, eis into, or right here, into repentance leads to salvation. Okay, now, let's see what we have. Eis leading to the preposition right here goes here. Eyes into salvation, leading to salvation, recovery, deliverance, whatever word that we like. Now, for those of you that have the NIV, if you have the NIV, you will note the correct order. That'll help you. You'll note the correct order in the phrase. And the correct order in the NIV says, godly sorrow, sorrow from God, brings, this is a Greek word that we translated produces, ergazomai. The King James says working. So we have produces, and we have here brings, and the King James says working. All right, brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. That's the way the NIV translates this, and that's correct. And then it says, but worldly sorrow brings death. If you have the King James, this is one of those places where that you have the correct order. The King James says, for godly sorrow worketh, that's produces, and repentance, then the preposition of phrase, to salvation, not to be repented of. So we have three translations here that I wanted to deal with and just to show you. And the NIV and the King James have it in the correct order. And that's the order that we need to pay attention to. For the sorrow or grief that is according to God works or produces or brings a repentance. This is a response to the work of God the Holy Spirit. Now the prepositional phrase, repentance into, then we have the accusative feminine, and this is important, of soteria. And what I want to do is I want you to see this, soteria, and it's very important in this word that I want you to see. Soteria is the Greek word, of course that's transliterated for you, the Greek word, this is the word for salvation or deliverance. Salvation or deliverance. That's what this word is, soteria. Salvation or deliverance. Repentance to salvation or deliverance. Now what Paul is doing, and it's very characteristic to Paul, and we could spend some time on this, but just if you study through Paul, Paul becomes very concerned in his writing. If we study Paul, Paul becomes very concerned in his writing with the work of God. That's why he's going to stress salvation or deliverance. This is the goal. This is the final objective, as far as Paul is concerned, is the work of God. And if we have time, I'll show you that through a lot of his writings. But this is his objective, the work of God by our faith. Now, the Greek word, soteria. Lewisbury Taper, in the book, To That Is Spiritual, makes it very clear in the first paragraph that this word right here, soteria, salvation or deliverance, is used for the unbeliever being eternally saved, but it's also used for the born-again believer being saved or delivered, such things as out from the power of sin and through. So this is out from, we're saved or delivered out from the power of sin, or through testing and suffering. And then salvation three is the salvation or the deliverance into eternity. And it's the same word, being saved into eternity. So you have the three salvations. And guess what? It's the same word. So here we have salvation one, salvation two, and salvation three. And they all use the word that Paul is using here. These are believers, people. These are born-again believers, and Paul uses the word soteria, the word for salvation, or deliverance. And he does that in many cases. And he even uses it, in that same word, in us being saved or delivered into eternity. So three different points where Paul uses this word. One, the second one here, is throughout your life. And it's a very important. Most people think when they see this word, soteria, salvation, this is just of the unbeliever. No. In fact, in the epistles, it's more to the believer. In the gospels, more to the unbeliever. But it refers to, they all refer to the work of God the Holy Spirit in regard to our salvation. Here, or here, or here. And being delivered in some form of salvation. So, I want you to note in verse 9. Note in verse 9. Go back to look at verse 9 now. It says, sorrow into repentance, or sorrow that leads into repentance. There the preposition ice. Verse 10, repentance that leads to salvation or deliverance. So let's see what we've got. See if we can put this so that you can see what all is going on. Verse 9, we have here in verse 9, we have a sorrow that leads to or into repentance. Then, in verse 10, we have repentance, preposition, preposition, repentance, that leads to or into salvation. And this is his objective. And this is what Paul is saying. This is where he's headed. Here is the immediate goal. Paul doesn't say sorrow, which leads to confession. He doesn't say sorrow, which leads to faith. Doesn't even say that. He says sorrow that leads to repentance, to a believer responding, takes him into repentance, and a repentance that will lead him to salvation. Deliverance from the power of sin. Now, why does Paul use salvation, deliverance? Why not confession? Why not even faith, specifically? Why doesn't he talk about faith? Because, well, I'll tell you what, this is a good place because I want to develop it. I don't want to leave it. But I want to ask you a question. Why? Because this comes up in people's minds. Well, why doesn't Paul say faith here? See? Why doesn't Paul talk about faith? Why doesn't Paul say sorrow that leads to repentance, repentance that leads to faith, and faith that results in salvation? Boy, that'd be great if Paul did that. See? Why does Paul, so we have the big why does Paul just say sorrow leads to repentance, repentance that leads to salvation? Why is Paul doing that? And it's a very important reason why. And it's very close to why doesn't John, why does John go the way he goes? Why does John talk about an acknowledgement of sin and then talk about the essence of God being faithful and righteous to forgive and to cleanse? Why does John then go into discussion about Jesus Christ, who is our advocate? And then why does he go into a discussion in verse 2 of chapter 2, Jesus Christ, our propitiator? Why does John do that? Why doesn't John stay with something like this? And why doesn't Paul do it the way we want? What's Paul doing? What's John doing? There's a very important reason. If we can just stay with context, people, it's easy to understand what different writers are doing. You stay with the context. So many things. The greatest damage that I'm learning is taking so many things out of context and making something that should not be made out of them. But if we can understand what Paul is saying here, we understand why he did it. Why John develops this. Why does John go from God, Jesus Christ, doesn't even talk about them. Doesn't even really talk about them. Paul talks about them. What happens inside of you. John doesn't talk about them. He talks about God, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Why? They're saying the same thing. And they have a reason for it. And when I have time to make this clear and not just try to cram it in 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. So we'll close. And next Tuesday night, let's get cracking on why Paul is doing this. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this evening, to worship with each other, pray with each other, allow your Spirit to show us some of these things, Father, the repentance that will lead to salvation, Father, and the work of the Spirit, and what happens inside of us. And all these things, Heavenly Father, become to us a deliverance from sin without any regret, and that, without any regret, is going to be an encouragement not to sin again. But what an awesome God you are. But here we are, we sin against you. You set up a delivery for us that has no regret, and that absence of regret, once we're delivered, is the motivation not to sin again. You're just an awesome God in the grace manner and the love manner in which you've put these things together. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.